baptism and the Lord's Supper. And there's a lot of ordinance tacked on there about different denominations and things like that. But as far as we're concerned, only baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are the ordinances that the Lord instituted and ordained before He went back to heaven. Verse number 23. Well, let's look back at verse 20 first. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper. See, they were getting together just having a big shindig and eating and calling it the Lord's Supper. Some of them were, and he said, no, that's your supper. And everyone is hungry and another is drunken. And you've got houses to do that in, he says. He said, if you want to eat your big meal, you've got a house to do that. That's not... And there's where a lot of the old preachers used to get the idea that it was a sin to have a fellowship hall because of that verse right there. Have you not houses to eat in? He didn't say it was wrong to have a building and eat in it. He just said, don't you have a house to eat in? He said, if you want to eat you a big meal, you got a house to do that. When you come together for the Lord's Supper, it's for a different purpose. That's why we do this in here, and we don't have meals in here where we just all, you know, eat this big plate of food. Now look, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Make sure you get that. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. It doesn't say how often to do it. Some churches do it every 3 months, some every 6 months, some just whenever they want to. It wouldn't hurt us a bit to do it more. We may want to do it more real soon. I'd like to. But he just said, as often as you do it, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? Show the Lord's death till he come. There's the purpose. What you're doing here tonight is you're showing the Lord's death until he comes. Nothing mystical, nothing magical. This, when you eat this bread here tonight, it don't take sin out of your life. And it don't wash your sins away. Or when you drink of the cup, if that stuff right there we drink had to wash our sins away, we'd have to get a lot bigger cups than what we got for this crowd. I'll guarantee you, brother, he said, what you're doing, you are showing that the Lord died on the cross, shed his blood, and his body was broken for us, and you keep showing that, how long? Till he come. That's why we do it here in 1990. Now, verse number 27. Wherefore, here's the scary part, Christian. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That means if you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, you just sit and watch while we partake of this. You could be getting yourself into more trouble than you'll be getting out of. This is for people. Now, I know you say, well, Brother Danny, none of us are worthy. That's not what he's talking about. A person who is not saved has no business partaking of the Lord's Supper. That's what he's saying. Verse number 28. Now, this is for us Christians. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now you don't think he's serious about that? Look at the next verse. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Some of them have died because they've taken the Lord's Supper as a joke. All you teenagers, listen to me tonight. If you're fooling around in sin, living openly, blatantly, not even trying to live right, This is no joke. You could be getting yourself in trouble with God tonight by partaking of this. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of it. I'm just warning you. The book said, let us examine himself. Now, personally, I believe that one of the main purposes that the Lord would have us to do this is so that from time to time, we will check up on ourselves and ask ourselves a question, am I right with God? And if I'm not right with God, get down here and get it right before I partake of the Lord's Supper. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That means if you'll go ahead and judge yourself and get rid of your sins yourself, God won't have to whip you. You know how come God's been so merciful to me down through the years? Because, brother, I confess my sins constantly. I don't claim to be perfect. And y'all know I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there's one thing about old brother Danny, buddy. He's down on his knees telling God, I'm sorry. I do that every day, many times a day. I do it before I come to church. When I go home after every service here, I'll get down on my knees in my bedroom and I'll say, God, thank you for the service. I hope somebody was helped or blessed. And before I go to sleep tonight, I'll ask God to help me and forgive me. It pays to keep your sins confessed up. If you confess them and judge yourself, God won't have to judge you. That's what he's talking about. So, parents with children, your little 4 and 3 and 2 year olds will say, Mama, I want to do that. You've got to explain to them that this is for people after they've been saved. All right? That's up to you as parents. So every once in a while I have somebody come and ask me. They'll say, Brother Danny, should I let my daughter partake of the Lord's Supper? I say, how old is she? So they said, she's 7 or 8. I say, is she saved? They say, yes, she got saved. And I say, now what you do is explain to her, all you kids listening, explain to her, this is a picture of Jesus' body being broken for us, of Jesus' blood being shed for us, and that's the purpose we have of this supper. It's not something to be cute or to be a joke or anything like that at all. Let me answer a few questions right quick and we'll start. First, whose is the supper? It's the Lord's supper. It's not my supper. It's not our supper. It's the Lord's supper. You know what? I like that old-fashioned good English word, supper. Don't you? I like that word, supper. Used to people say, come over to the house and have supper. That's a good Bible word. Nowadays, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't reckon that's nothing wrong with that. It just don't sound as good as breakfast, dinner, and supper. Lunch don't sound as good as dinner, does it? And now they've left off one of them and call it brunch. It's just halfway between breakfast and lunch, you know. And, of course, you know, 3 meals a day is probably too much for any of us. But unless they're kind of in moderation. But there's nothing wrong with that old word supper. You know, they'll look at you like you're some kind of a backwoods hillbilly if you invite somebody over for supper. But don't be intimidated by these crowd nowadays. If the Bible uses the word supper, it's all right. It's in order. And if what's her name? What's that woman's name? Mary, Emily, Post. If Emily Post says that using supper is bad etiquette, she is wrong. Because it's in the Bible. She may have some good ideas about other things, which side to lay your fork on, and which hand to pick up something with, something like that. But when it comes to supper, it's in order. It's the Lord's Supper. He instituted himself. He appointed it for a memorial for himself. Number two, to whom was it given? It was given to the disciples. It was not given to the world. It was not given to those which are lost. It was not given to the big multitudes of masses. Just to them that followed him. Number three, why do we do it? We do it to show the Lord's death, till he come. Now, if you were in a Catholic church, if you went to a Catholic church, you wouldn't be there tonight. If you went there this morning, they have what they call the Mass. And the Catholic Church teaches, among a bunch of other things, that when the priest puts his blessings on that bread, that when you take it, it is actually the body of Jesus Christ going down your throat, and that's the way you receive Christ as your Savior. So you're saved, As a matter of fact, you can check me on this, as a matter of fact, the Catholic Church teaches that anybody who does not receive the Mass blessed by a Catholic priest is not saved, is not going to heaven. That means I'm not going to heaven. I ain't never done that, and I ain't planning on it.
Amen.
How many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand. We've probably got a few. There's one, two, and they're all from out of way from here. There's three people in here that's done that, and they're all Yankees. That ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you something, man. Did you know there are fewer percentage of Catholics in North Carolina than anyone? You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't think you should be critical of them and naming that. Listen, let me tell you something. I believe that there's a lot of Catholics who are saved in spite of their church. Not because of it. The church don't get them saved. Some of them are going out here and they preach the truth and they get saved and they trust the Lord as their Savior. But they're not saved because of that thing. They're saved in spite of that thing. We're much more broad-minded than they are. They teach all of us are going to hell. We don't teach that about them. If you want to talk about somebody criticizing, go jump on them. They're a lot harder on us than we are on them. Amen? Why do we do it? It's not to get saved. It's not to stay saved. It's not to receive the Lord. This do in what? Remembrance of me. Where do we do it? It seems like they had a public meeting place there, and that's what this is. It's a meeting place where we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, what is its meaning? There are three views, and I'll give you this and I'll be through. There are three basic views of what we're going to do tonight. First of all, there's the Roman view. Rome, Catholic. That's what I've already talked about. That's the Catholic Church teaches what we call transubstantiation. Now, what that means is when the priest gets down here and he goes zap, you know, or any, meeny, miny, mo, or whatever he does to it, that it turns into the body of Christ and the cup turns into the blood of Christ, so that when you are eating it and drinking it, you are eating the body of Jesus and drinking His blood. You're a cannibal. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. That's called transubstantiation, that there's a miracle takes place in front of your very eyes and that bread turns into the body of Jesus. You don't believe that? Read the story of Father Chinicki called 50 Years in the Church of Rome, where he was a Catholic priest for 50 years, and you wouldn't believe. You know, they were going to minister last rites or something to somebody dying, and he's traveling on a horse through the snow, and he had the Lord with him there in the back saddle pack. And that's the Lord's body. That's what they teach. And he lost the Lord in the snow somewhere. One time they were down praying, asking the blessing on it, and rats came out and ate the Lord's body. That's called transubstantiation. Second, there's the Lutheran view. Now, the Lutheran church teaches what they call consubstantiation. Now, the difference between consubstantiation and transubstantiation is this. In transubstantiation, boom, boy, there's a miracle takes place and the body and blood of Jesus are right there in front of you. In consubstantiation, listen carefully, the body, it's still bread and grape juice, or wine are probably in their case. But the body and blood are present in the room. See? If you were in a Lutheran church tonight, the Lutheran priest, or whatever they call him, bishop, rector, whatever, he'd say, blessing upon it, and the body and blood of Jesus would be floating around in here somewhere in a mystical form. That's a Lutheran view. There's one other view. You know what you call that? The Christian view. The Christian view, you say, well, Brother Danny, aren't those people Christians? I didn't say they weren't Christians. They don't have a Christian view. This is the Christian view. The Christian view is, this do in remembrance of me. There's two reasons for our Christian view tonight. Number one, that we are to remember that on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It's still real tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as it was the day that Jesus hung His head and died. He was pierced. His hands did bleed, thank God. And He was shed His blood for old sorry low-down person like me and like us in here tonight. And we're just remembering that tonight and celebrating. And the second reason is so we can examine ourselves and get our sins confessed up. So I want to ask Sister Kathy, if she will, come to the piano right quick. And here's what I want us to do. While our men are getting ready, I want her to play Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart today, and I'd like every head to be bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now here's what I want you to do. The night that Jesus was betrayed, He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now tonight we're just going to take just a couple of minutes here and examine ourselves. If you have sin in your heart, if you got anything in your life that you know is a sin, I know you're not perfect, and I don't mean that, and I know I've sinned, and you have too. I'm not talking about unconfessed, unforsaken sin. If you are deliberately sinning and you don't even try to quit, you need to get something done about that thing right now before we start. You want to come to the altar? You can. You want to stay there at your seat? You can. If there's something in your life that ain't right, the Lord has let us have this service tonight so that you could get it out. You can be eating damnation to yourself. And for this cause, a lot of people get sick and some people die. There's something between you and somebody. You've been a smart aleck to one of your brothers and sisters, and it's a bugging you, and the Holy Spirit's convicting you of it. Just come up here and ask God to forgive you. You might even have to go to that brother or sister and ask them to forgive you. I don't want the devil to put no false guilt on you, but if God's dealing with you about something, whatever it is, get it out right now. Get it out. I was thinking this evening before I came to church, boy, I tell you, it's time to get your sins taken care of. Get your sins taken care of. Does anybody else need to come to the altar? You can stay right there at your seat if you want to. If you want to come to the altar, there's one come to the altar tonight. It doesn't matter. You can pray right there if that's what you want to do. If you feel like you need to come to the altar, you've been doing wrong, just tell God you're sorry right now. Say, "God, I'm forsaking that mess. It's going to be out of my life. Give me a new, fresh start. Cleanse me in the blood right now. Cleanse me in the blood right now." You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I feel so guilty of my sins. What should I do?" 1 John 1:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans 10:13, about being saved, you know that verse. If you are saved, you claim 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. If you're not saved, you claim Romans 10:13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God dealt with your heart tonight. You ought to just get it settled. Amen. I appreciate that, brother. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Man just brought me a pack of cigarettes here. Anybody need to get something straight? Anybody need to get something straight? God may be dealing with you about it. He may not be. I don't know. Between you and God. I mean, it's your life. It's your conscience. The main thing to do with God is keep everything clear between you and Him. Keep it clear between you and Him. Dear Lord, I thank You for these that have come. Thank You for these that are making decisions and commitments in their hearts right now. Now, dear God, You know our hearts. And Lord, right now, we fear You tonight, God. Lord, I know that You could take our breath away right now and we'd die. And God, I'm asking You for mercy upon me. God, forgive my wicked ways, every thought, every action, every attitude, every desire, anything sinful about me. God, right now, I pray for forgiveness and cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You. Thank You for it. Thank You that we've got it. Thank You that You answered our prayers. Now I pray for my brothers and sisters, that You'd move upon them. whatever they're struggling with, help them to settle it. God, turn from it. Get it fixed and settled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord said, when the hour was come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And you think about that and meditate on that. As our ushers pass around these plates and think about your relationship between you and God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you did allow them to break your body for us. Lord, even though we're unworthy of it tonight, through your blood and body broken and shed for us, we've been made worthy through the blood of the Lamb. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Across your load limit. Sin here is tempted over your load limit. Go put yourself in a position to be tempted. I mean, if you used to have a drinking problem, you don't want to go down here to ABC store and hang around and talk to the fellas going in. That's dumb, brother. I mean, don't. You're like that little fella that used to go swimming every evening on his way home from school. And his mama said, "If you go swimming one more time, I'm going to whip you." He said, "Mama, I promise I won't." But he
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, as many, many times as we've said it, and thousands of people down through the years have said it, we've never thanked you enough for shedding your blood for us. Unworthy sinners, we thank you for it. God, have mercy on us. And in these last days, we're so glad for that cleansing flow. We're glad there's power in the blood. Glad for that night that you shed it for us. We love you. In Jesus' name. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." All right, let's stand and sing one verse of that, "There Is a Fountain." Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Everybody knows that first verse. Let's just sing it out tonight. Sing.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein.
Amen. Sinners, plunge. Amen.
That blood blues off their guilty stains.
Everybody.
Blues off their guilty stains. Blues off their guilty stains.
Sing it out. Amen. All God's people said,
"Amen."
Amen. I just remain standing just a moment. We're gonna dismiss, and then everyone's invited up to the old. I mean, I know it happens to all of us, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Get back up. Shake yourself. Get washed in the blood of Jesus, and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Try it again this morning. You say, "Preacher, I've been to the altar so many times I've wore a hole in the carpet." That's what it's for, brother. That's what it's for. If you have to stay up here 7 days a week, it beats living in sin. Amen? I believe. I don't care what everybody thinks. If you have to come to altar every service, if that's what it takes, do it. Wear it out. Wear your britches legs out. Just get right with the Lord and try your best and stay right. All right, we're going to let you go. The youth choir needs to be here at 5:30. Everybody else, 7 o'clock. God bless you. You're at liberty. Have a good evening.